Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 15. Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. And starting in verse 1, the Word of God says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, notice that he says something. He doesn't just say, I am the vine. Because there are many vines, there are many artificial, there are many deceitful vines. But he said, I am the true vine. Now, what is the significance of this? I can try to derive my life from a number of places that are not real. I can try to derive my life through perhaps religious performance. I can try to derive my life through perhaps morality. I can try to derive my life through a number of places, but those places are not life-giving. But there is a true vine. In other words, there is a true vine that gives true life. Life, of course, is that which the Holy Spirit gave to man. And life is still that which the Holy Spirit gives to man. Biological life, of course, at creation, but also the Zoe life, the life of God, is imparted to us by the Holy Spirit from the true vine. And so I have to be very careful not to derive my life from a false vine. Television, liberal thinking on television with a humanistic tint to it, with a humanistic shade, can be a very deceptive and clever counterfeit for the true life. You see people perhaps who sense compassion, but their compassion is not tempered in doctrine, and so their compassion leads to sentimentality where those things that are not of God and sometimes even of Satan can be approved of. Because a person has not lived in the true vine. But Jesus said, I am the true vine. The things of God, the mind of the Savior, the life of God, the heart of God, this is the true vine, the Word of God. This is the true vine. The Savior is the true vine, and His Father is a husbandman. Now, the life that I do not derive from the Father. The life that I derive, and again, I don't mean biological life, I mean spirit life. The life that I derive from the Savior. And the Savior in John chapter 14 is called a paraclete, but so is the Holy Spirit further down in that chapter. So that it shows me that the person of the Savior or the pouring out of God onto people, it's the same person. And Jesus in John 14 was making a very clear and direct correlation and equation that He, Christ in humanity is Christ, God poured out on man is Spirit of God, Holy Spirit. And so there is a very clear correlation, a very clear equation set in John 14 about who is the Spirit, who is the Father, and who is the Son. Because He also told Philip, if you have seen Me, you have seen the Father, when Philip said to Jesus, show us the Father. And He said to Philip, have I been with you so long, Philip, and yet you do not know Me? So we have this equation set up by the Savior as to who God is. And what He is saying, that the life that you derive is not from the fatherhood of God, but the life that you derive is by what the Savior has done for you from the finished work of God. And the finished work of God is brought to my heart by the Holy Spirit, who in John 16:13 guides me in all truth. The fatherhood of God, He is a husbandman. Now this is something a little bit different than we may imagine. We think of God as being very compassionate, and He is. We think of God as being very kind, and He is. We think of God as being very merciful and gentle, and He is. But He's also a husbandman. So somewhere along all the things that God's character consists of, there is this element also of husbandmen. What does the husbandman do? The husbandman cuts things. The husbandman removes things. The husbandman, in some manner of speaking, you could say, does all the hard stuff. The husbandman is actually the one who ordains tribulation in my life so that the character of God can be worked into me. Now, there is one of the most interesting equations in the Bible. Tribulation works patience. Patience being the first characteristic of the love of God. Why is that so interesting? Because tribulation is difficult. What would happen if I had no tribulation? If I had no tribulation, I would also not have the character of God. The husbandman brings health to my life. A life that is healthy is a life that has the life of God flowing in it and the character of God being produced as the fruit of the Spirit. This is a healthy vine. But that vine will not be healthy if not for the activity of the husbandman. If not for that activity, then all kinds of bad growth will take place. And eventually it will choke off the healthy growth. And very possibly the whole thing may die. This is like a tree, right? You prune a tree, you take out the bad growth, and you get healthy growth as a result of it. And you get a nice healthy tree, likewise us. The tribulation that works in our lives is not because we do things wrong or because we are wicked or anything like that. The tribulation we do that happens in our lives is because the life of God is flowing in us. And that life of God has to be fostered and preserved and encouraged by the Holy Spirit and the Father. The Holy Spirit bringing that life, but the Father giving me tribulation as the husbandman. If that tribulation never comes, I will never really experience the fullness of God's life. Tribulation, we say, is difficult. We don't enjoy it. Yes, that's right. It is difficult. That's absolutely true. And it is religious, I think, in my view, for a person to say, oh, I don't mind the tribulations. Paul minded the tribulations. He said he gloried in the tribulations, but he also minded them. What Paul is saying is, I recognize them for what they are, but you know what, Timothy? Bring me my coat. Why? Because it's cold and I'm miserable. Bring me my coat. You see, Paul underwent both sides of tribulation. Tribulation, this I recognize, it will produce some beautiful life of God, character of God, compassion, quality of life from God in my life. I will see the glory of the Lord. I will see the beauty of His character. I will see the majesty and His faithfulness of God. Bring me my coat. I'm freezing and I'm miserable. As a believer, I don't get weird with my tribulations. I recognize them for what they are. They are still my tribulations. But I see God's hand in them. I see that in that tribulation, God is being my husbandman. He is cutting and pruning so that I grow. So that God's life increases and self-life, which is the weed, which is that bad growth that is in the plant, that is taken away. And I become healthy, even though I may be weak. Or maybe, let's put it this way, even though I recognize my weakness more and more. But this is a good thing, to recognize my weakness more and more. Because His strength is perfect in my weakness, right? It is made perfect in my weakness. In other words, God's strength is utterly completed when I become very weak. The manifestation of His strength, of His faithfulness, of His character is completed when I become very weak. I don't enjoy the tribulations, but I enjoy the results. I don't enjoy the process, I enjoy the outcome. What is important for me is to recognize the process is taking place. It's not even important that I enjoy the process. It's important that I recognize that the process is taking place. Why? Because in the recognition of the process taking place, I develop the capacity to stay in the fire. In other words, I become a vine that doesn't run from the husbandman. If I don't stay in the fire, the vine dies because I've left the source of life. But the thing about the fire is it will not consume me. It may be frightening to me. The Hebrew boys were not sure whether they would perish or not. Esther was not sure whether she would perish or not when she says, "If I perish, I perish." It may be frightening to me. But it doesn't matter. I know the fire doesn't consume. The only thing that gets consumed in that fire is the bondage that I had. This is why God allows the fire. People wonder, why am I going through fire, God? God says, so I can burn off your ropes. So I can produce something in you that wasn't there. So old lines can be broken. So wounds can be healed. So that lines of thinking that are not from God can finally change. So that those areas where I don't know Him, I'll finally know who He really is. You see, He is the husbandman. If it weren't for my husbandman, I would be a sickly branch. No branch is healthy if it doesn't get pruned. And so the Word of God says that He is the true vine, and the Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it. This is strange, isn't it? Every branch that is not going to bear fruit, He takes away. Isn't that a little bit frightening? Isn't it like we read this and we say, oh goodness, God could take me away. What will happen to me? What do you mean, God? It's not what it says. It says, every branch that doesn't bear fruit, the picture here is, He lifts that branch up and He ties it up high on the lattice, where it will receive the sunlight. That's what it's saying. Every branch that doesn't bear fruit, God will take that branch and lift it up high. He will lift it up off of the ground where scavengers and things can get to it. And He will lift it up high where the sunlight can nourish it, so that it can start to produce fruit. God doesn't condemn me because I am weak. God doesn't condemn me because I fail. God doesn't condemn me if I sin. God will lift me up to the place where I can experience the life of God. God's mercy is profound. Have you ever considered the meaning of the first two characteristics of God? Right? 1 Corinthians 13:4, agape love. God said in John 4:18, God is love. God is agape love. First two characteristics, patient and kind. What is patience? Patience is the expression of mercy. Patience is that which does not give me what I deserve. That's mercy. What is kindness? kindness is the expression of grace. Grace is that which gives me what I do not deserve. So God is merciful and gracious. And He expresses it in patience and in kindness. God's mercy toward the believer is profound. A believer who is stumbling, a believer who is suffering, God will not come down on them. God will not reject them. God will not beat them. God will elevate that person. And He'll take them to a place where they can be protected from that which is dangerous, and they can be nourished by that which is healthy. And He'll keep them in that place until they start producing their own fruit. Because God is not interested in getting rid of His children. God is interested in working in the lives of His children. So the Word of God there says that every branch that bears fruit, He purges. And why does He purge it? Why does He bring in tribulations? Why does He do these things? Because He's producing His life in it. A well-pruned vine is a vine with a lot of healthy life. A poorly purged vine is a sickly organism. That kind of a vine will never produce very healthy fruit. And I say to myself, well, I go through these trials, I go through these tribulations, obviously I'm not very fruitful. No! You go through these trials and you go through these tribulations, obviously the husbandman sees great value in this branch and that it has the life of God and that it has tremendous ability to bear fruit and the fruit is good. And this is why the purging comes. This is why the trial comes. This is why the test. This is why the difficulty. This is why getting to the extreme of my capacity where it feels like He went way beyond, but in fact He didn't. He just maxed it out. Why? He's purging so that life will flow even more, so that the fruit will be even greater. You see, He doesn't purge the vine that bears no fruit. He takes that one and elevates it. But the branch that bears fruit, He purges, that it may bring forth more fruit. That more of God's character can be worked in. That more of God's mercy can be expressed. That the love of God can be known in a much more profound and deep and life-giving way. He's purging. He's giving life. If I say, God, it feels like You're killing me. He says, no, I'm not killing you. He says, I'm purging you. I'm only taking away those parts that don't have life. And I'm preserving and I'm fostering and I'm growing those parts that do. He introduces new life into areas where there was no life. Weaknesses that become strengths. Problems overcome. Sin that is forsaken. He's producing more life. A character that is built into the nature of God. He's producing more life. Now you are clean, in verse 3, through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. That life that is pure is the word that He has spoken unto me. Abide in me. Remain continuously in your true place in the Savior. That's what it means to abide. Remain continuously in your true place in your Savior. Now be careful of this. Not in your perception of your place, but in God's definition of your place. Because my perception sometimes can differ very greatly from God's definition. my perception can sometimes condemn me and say, I know God loves me, but I am less than now. And God says, no, you are not less than now. The blood was shed before the foundation of the world. The works were finished before the foundation of the world. I knew you from your mother's womb, he said to Jeremiah. No. I am never less than. By the way, failure, insecurity, weakness, none of these things and all the other situations that people can make anyone less than with God. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Now let's take that into the practical context of what it means that God loves me. When I sin, God takes me out of my sin through His profound kindness toward me. His kindness is irresistible. He shows me mercy and it blows my mind. He shows me kindness and I cannot figure out why, because I don't deserve it. And at that point I have started to learn what it means that God is gracious, that God is kind. Kindness is not that which I deserved. That wouldn't be kindness, that would be payment. Kindness is that which I did not deserve. Have you ever met people who always give people what they deserve and you think to yourself, wow, that person is not very kind? That's true. But how often do we see God that way, like He will be like that? But He won't. God will never treat me according to what I deserved. Why? Because what I deserved, really, if you're honest, what I deserved was to go to hell. And that's already been taken care of for the believer. It's been taken care of for the unbeliever too, except that one rejected mercy and the other did not. You see, it's His kindness that does this. You're a farmer. When you grow things, do you cut them? Sure you do. And when you cut them, you even produce a little wound on the thing that you cut. But if you cut it properly, the wound heals nicely. And there is nothing wrong there. But God has to cut some things sometimes in order to make me healthy. If there is cancer, the surgeon takes a knife. Or maybe the doctor takes radiation. Things that are very undesirable, are they not? Not necessarily. The surgeon takes a knife and he heals. Who would have thought that? Take the knife in the wrong way and you don't heal. But taken by the surgeon, the knife heals. Isn't it interesting how it can be the same knife that can heal or kill? But that's how it is. God brings the word to my heart and the word heals me. Now it has to be done by the Spirit, because it's a sword that can kill also, but the Spirit heals me. The husbandman knows just how to cut the branch. Abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me, he said. This is an imperative. Abide in me. Continuously maintain and remain in your place. That is your proper, true place with God. Abide in me. God, I failed, then abide in me. God, I am weak, then abide in me. God, I am fearful, then abide in me. God, I am insecure, then abide in me. God, I'm no good, abide in me. Just abide in me. and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. Branches that remove themselves from vines are not healthy branches. They lose the life of the vine. They don't change the fact that they're branches. They just lose the life of the vine. They lose their fruits, they dry up, they shrivel. But they are still the branches produced by that vine without the life of it. He that abide in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Isn't this a sober, like this thought alone can revolutionize a life. This one sentence in the Word of God. Without me you can do nothing. How often do I say to myself, I can do something apart from you, God? But if the branch separates itself from the vine, the life of the vine is not in it. So what can that branch do? He says, without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, this is not talking about hell. Men don't cast people into hell. This is talking about judgment, severe judgment. Men cast severe judgment on a believer who does not have the life of God. The world sees such a person and they destroy him. They say sometimes to his face, and you are supposed to be a Christian, and we reject what you are about, and we reject the God you stand for, but we also reject you. Isn't that curious? The world watches the believer to see if they find Christ in him. And if they do not, if the fruit is not there, then they judge him severely. And this is the fire it is talking about. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. How many believers hear that and they hear cha-ching? My wife said something interesting one time. She's a tremendous prayer warrior. She was praying one time and the Holy Spirit said to her heart, ask me what you will. And she said to him, God, I could ask you for anything. And he said, but you won't. See, he knew her. He knew her heart. He knew what was abiding in her. He said, if my word abide in you, and you shall ask anything, and it will be done for you. Why is it that sometimes I ask and I don't receive? Don't look so much whether you receive what you ask for, but look to see if the Word of God abides in you. Don't look for solutions of that sort. Look for the source of the solution. When a person is sick, they don't look for the medication, they look for the doctor. If a person has a problem, they don't look for a solution, they look for a source. This is what the Word of God is. The Word of God is my source. And the source provides for me a solution. This is what the love of God is. It is a source that provides for me a solution. The character of God. The faithfulness of God, the mercy, all the things that God is, are my source. and in Him I find my solution. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Now, here's an interesting thing. That I bear much fruit, and I am His disciple. And I bet you anything that many people who are listening to this on the internet are thinking to themselves, okay, that I do a lot, that I win a lot of souls, that I do, you know, get religious, that I get active, that what is this? He already told you what the fruit of the Spirit is. He already told you what a disciple is. The fruit of the Spirit is love, Galatians 5:22. And a disciple is the one who loves one another. And so shall you be my disciples. The next verse says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. Why? Because in this is the Father glorified, that you bear the fruit of the Spirit and you live the life of the disciple. And then he says, as the Father loved me, so I loved you. Continue in my love. Continue in my unconditional patience and kindness. Continue in the mercy and the grace that I have so abundantly for you. Continue in the finished work. Continue in my love. This is what it means to be a disciple. That I continue in the love of God. What did Jude say in 21? Keep yourself in the love of God. How? Looking for mercy. Paraphrase, looking for kindness, looking for patience from God. And so I keep myself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the unconditional patience and kindness of God. Keep yourself there. Look for His unconditional patience and kindness. And so is the Father glorified. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you have unconditional patience and kindness toward one another as I have had unconditional patience and kindness toward you. And this is the commandment. Greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends, that he not live in self-preservation towards his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Well, that's a tough saying, isn't it, God? What did He just command you? Keep yourself in the love of God. Continue in the love of God. This is what He has commanded you. And now you are His friend. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. In other words, this is when you live in the Spirit of God that leads men in all truth. In John 16:13, this is what He is talking about. This is what it means to be Spirit-filled. It means that the love of God, the fruit of the Spirit, abounds in the believer. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Remember that when you feel like you have come short, that you are not the one who chose God. God chose you. You see, if I chose God, then I would have something I have to maintain. I'd have to keep up with Him. But I didn't choose Him. He chose me. And therefore, it is all in God's court. It's up to God to do and to will all His good pleasure. it's up to God to be faithful and to also do it, all that He has promised. It's up to God to turn the heart. It's up to God to conform me to His image. It's up to God to cause me to grow. It's up to God to build a capacity in me. It's up to God to come through for me. It's up to God to fight my battles. It's up to God to produce life in me. I just abide. I maintain and I remain in that true place that I have with the Savior. And the vine produces the life. Amen.